Welcome to TBT, a movie podcast where we relive our childhoods through movies. I'm Olivia.
And I'm Miranda. And today we're going to be talking to you all about Smart House.
Such a classic. Yeah. The 1999 Smart House.
It's taken us a while to do this, but like we're here and we're finally doing it.
Yeah, you know? We've kind of had it in our back pocket for sure.
We have. And now Our back pockets are empty.
So empty. We have nothing left.
If you have any movie suggestions, please let us know.
Yeah, we're definitely going to go diving through our couches for coins for our back pocket.
We've only done about like 45 of these or something insane like that. So it kind of makes sense, but you know,
I feel like it's been one everybody has been waiting with bated breath for.
Yeah, at least like two people have been waiting
for sure. Me being one of them.
Yeah, and me being the other one. So literally no one else.
We were excited to do this movie because everybody loves Smart House. I don't think you and no one mentions, like, when you talk about DCOMs, everybody's first thing is Smart House.
No, yeah, it's definitely a reference that people know.
It's DCOM royalty for sure.
Oh my god, yeah, it's definitely on the Rushmore of
DCOMs, yeah. for sure.
Like this High School Musical.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I feel like this is just in a different like tier than, like, it's in a different category than High School Musical.
Yeah, definitely. But I think that kind of works for Mount Rushmore, you know? That, like, kind of makes sense.
I mean, they're all presidents.
So. Yeah, but I mean, like, there's, like...
they're from different time periods. Anyway.
Exactly.
And we all know Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, we all know Mount Rushmore. Let's not play that game that we're going to lose. let's not play the name the Mount Rushmore game, because that will not go well.
Speaking of different times, this movie came out in 1999. You know, it's just before the turn of the millennium.
I feel really, like, besides the floor observers, this house could basically exist now.
Pretty much. I mean, the weird, maybe like, the Elastigirl hand that, like, came out.
Yeah, and the food stuff wouldn't work.
But, I mean, I feel like people do, maybe this is something we'll, like, talk about sort of throughout, like, the feasibility of this stuff. But I think people have been working on, like, 3D printers for food.
Okay.
And that would be lit as hell.
Yeah, I think, like, a lot of this is, like, Alexa features. I feel like the designers at Amazon were like, let's make Pat.
Yeah, but Alexa. We can't call it Pat because then it won't respond to.
No.
Like, it has to have an unusual name.
Because Alexa is so unusual.
No, but it has to be, like, Siri is, like, a sound that people don't really say. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not really saying, like, hey,
Alexa,
Siri.
Yeah, and kind of like Cortana. Like, it has to be very deliberate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I don't know. I guess people aren't really saying, like, hey, Google or whatever. But I have an Alexa, and literally the only thing I have my Alexa do for me is turn my lights on and off, and it is a godsend. When I was at home this weekend, I just miss that so much when I'm not here.
I have a lamp.
It's amazing. What?
I have a lamp.
Yeah, no,
right next to my bed, so I just have to, like, reach. But, like, sometimes it stays on all night, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think, actually, shortly after watching Smart House, I was kind of, like, inspired, and this is like a part of me being able to like turn my light on and off after getting into bed. It's just the best thing ever. I like rigged a shoelace along my wall taped it or tied it to my light switch, and I literally like finagled away to turn my light on
that
and off.
That worked?
Yes, it did. And I had that up for months, and it was like amazing.
Dang.
It was really cool.
Interesting.
I'm just an inventor.
Revolutionary. Hey, Sarah Barnes.
Yeah, it doesn't take much. It's just a product of easily spooked.
Yeah, that's true. So. I can see you being that way. Like, I need my lights to go off after I'm already in bed, because walking to bed with the lights off is scary.
Okay.
An hour and 22 minutes. Not too bad.
No, it was nice. And I also, I think I was able to watch this on, like, 1.25, 1.5 speed. I just really...
How'd you watch it?
You know, just...
I watched on Disney Now, and you definitely can't watch it on 1.5.
I needed a
speed.
Login, and I didn't have a login. I don't think I had to log in to watch Descendants. I think I was just
Descendants. Yeah, Descendants is on the free. Because, like, with our internet one, it gives you Descendants, and I think Descendants...
Disney Now is a strong recommend. Like,
yeah,
go on
there
and check it out. It's really fun. They have lots of, like, throwbacks and, you know, Descendants.
Lots of DCOM
stuff.
Into
that. So then hour 22 was great. It was whatever.
Yeah.
This movie was directed by LeVar Burton, and he has known for us as an actor. I've heard of him. I don't think I've seen any of this stuff because most of it's Star Trek, but Star Trek First Contact from 1996, Star Trek Generations from 1994, Star Trek Insurrection from 1998, never heard of it, and Roots from 1977.
I think he's in the new Roots, too.
Okay, I didn't even know that there was a new one. To me, yeah, Roots is like one... a... drink at Press Juicery, like
no he's in the Roots from I think it's 2016 or 2017 he's in it. I think it was a limited TV series, but it was like they were like hour and 30 minute long episodes. It's like, yeah, it's a definitely a cultural thing, like it's a
what
it's like a cultural statement. Roots says it's supposed to be really powerful, but I haven't watched it because it's like definitely a crier.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't need any help in that department. But I will say, you know what I watched twice this weekend was To All the Boys I Loved Before. Amazing. Incredible.
I watched the first half of Fell Asleep. I was tired. So
Lindsay can go home. It's amazing. Lindsay hates it, but I loved it.
I liked Mona. It was crazy seeing Mona. I'm like, Mona.
Oh my God, yes. Janelle Parrish is in it. But yeah, that's a strong recommend if you're into like TBT stuff. It's very throwback vibes. It's very like John Hughes, very like DCOM kind of like high school fun, flirty.
Yeah,
vibes.
It was really cute. It was cute.
So cute.
Yeah, it was really cute. I love that girl who plays
Lara Jean.
Lara Jean. Yeah. I was going to say
the little girl that her little sister was in Descendants too.
Yes. She was the hair girl.
Yeah, she was Grizzy, maybe?
Yeah, she had a weird name.
I don't think it was Grizzy.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, she does the girl, she does Mal's hair.
Yeah, and she makes it look way worse.
Yeah. I liked the blonde with the dip dye, honestly.
No, yeah, that's the best that Dove Cameron has ever looked
in. Oh, yeah,
that,
for sure. It was like white platinum blonde with dip dyed. I'm like, I like that. That's a good look.
Ice queen. Okay.
Yeah, she kind of fits for her.
Back to Smart House.
So starring in Smart House is Kevin Kilner, Nick Cooper, a.k.a. the resident Dennis Quaid lookalike.
He's the dad.
Yes. Nick Cooper is the dad.
He definitely has like dad in any of these movies. Like like Olivia's saying, Dennis Quaid. I got Coach Bolton from
not as hot as iconic as Coach Bolton.
But that was that was just kind of the vibes that I got. Anyway, he's the dad, you know.
Yeah.
Just your typical dad.
His known fors are Raising Helen from 2004, A Cinderella Story from 2004, Earth Final Conflict.
What? Was he the dad in the Cinderella Story?
He was
the guy's dad.
Who's
Michael Murray's dad.
Yeah.
The one that wanted him to go to USC?
Yes.
Great. The car wash?
Yes, he wanted him to go to USC. Yes.
Okay.
Correct. He's in Earth Final Conflict from 1987 to 2002, and he was in Home Alone 3 in 1997.
Great. And then I get to talk about Ryan Merriman.
I think this is the first time we've talked about
character of this movie. I think it is actually the first time that we've really talked about him, because we haven't talked about either of his DCOMs, but Ryan Merriman plays Ben Cooper. His known fors are Final Destination 3 from 2006, The Deep End of the Ocean from 1999, The Pretender from 1996 to 2000, Taken, apparently, from 2002. I don't know who he was in Taken, but...
It's not the same Taken.
Oh, okay. It's a sci-fi alien movie, not the Liam Neeson movie. I guess I should have just read the notes.
I know, it's like, keep reading. You're like, what? Taken? I'm like...
You think that all the time? And then
Well, because, like, you
don't.
Obviously read it. Oh, that was me. Okay. It's like, you obviously read it because you wrote a note right after.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's super hot now.
That's the thing, though. I also had a crush on him, like, when I was little. And then it's weird, like, rewatching this movie because you're like, oh, he's, like,
when
a child.
I, like, paused the movie to take a note earlier and, like, it stopped on him with, like, making, like, the weirdest, like, stink face. Like, he was like, meh. And, like, it was so, I'm like, no, you're so cute with his, like, little flipped up.
Hair.
Yeah, he's adorable.
I like how I had to interrupt you to, like, make sure you remembered the word hair.
No, I mean, like, because I'm obviously, like, making the visual that's not working. But, yeah, he also starred in the other Disney Channel original movies, The Luck of the Irish in 2001 and A Ring of Endless Light in 2002.
Did not star in The 13th Year. That was another person
I looked
named.
It up. I'm like, nope, it was someone else.
I looked him up. I closed the window, clearly. But that was another guy. I don't really... his last name is Starbuck. I think his name is, like, Chez Starbuck. And I looked him up. He has a YouTube channel with, like, 7 videos that each have, like, 200 views.
Dang.
He has a solid 4,000 Instagram followers. Wow. So, you know, he's doing really well.
Rolling in that dough.
Come on our podcast.
Yeah, seriously. We would love to have you on our
Instagram
podcast.
His Instagram is all like dad things. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. But yeah, I definitely
That would be a definite change for our like demographic. I mean, like, we love a hot dad, but like, it would be so weird.
Do we?
I mean, I love a hot dad. And it would be interesting to have like a guy on our podcast, I think. Like, we have like so not guy vibes. So
anyway, he's invited.
Yeah, please come.
But
yeah, it's definitely someone else, and I think you're confusing it with A Ring of Endless Light, which is also an ocean water centric movie.
I loved A Ring of Endless Light.
Did you? Because you don't really remember it, apparently.
No, I just also thought it was the 13th year, and to be fair to me, they look alike.
Oh yeah, totally.
And it was 15 years ago.
I know, but you're just like, I love that one. I'm like, do you know?
No, I did actually remember because Misha Barton was in A Ring of Endless Light.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that was correct. Like her dolphin. I don't remember anything that happened in that movie,
A Ring of Endless Light is the dolphin movie, and the 13th year is the mermaid movie.
Very different things.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, not that different. As far as Disney Channel original movies go, not that different.
He also starred as used loosely here. He starred as Ian Thomas in Pretty Little Liars for 16 episodes. Spoiler alert, I think he was beheaded.
No, he was hung.
How did he die?
No, he hung in the bell tower. Yeah,
now
I
feel like we've talked about this before.
I know. I feel like we've talked about it too. Have we had like maybe in like a TBD with like some kind of Pretty Little Liars throwback or something like
maybe.
That?
Maybe.
Because I know we've talked about Ian Thomas before, I feel like. I'm not sure where.
I don't know.
What movie were you in, Ryan Merriman? Or maybe we were talking about somebody else who looked like Ryan Merriman or something
like
that. I don't
know. All these guys look like Ryan Merriman.
Well, because we also talked a lot about the guy who played the police officer, who was the friend of Ian Thomas. And we've talked about him a couple times from... he was in something like a couple weeks ago. Something... Remember we talked about that? He was the police officer who got killed on the train in the Halloween
episode. That
episode
was crazy.
Yeah, and Adam Lambert, not necessary. Adam Lambert was like performing on the train. It was so weird, but like so much plot development happened in like an offshoot special that was like. That was nuts.
That's like when they killed that character on Riverdale during the musical episode.
Yeah, it was like, this is supposed to be a throwaway episode, and because it was like a Halloween special, because I don't think it was even during the regular season, or it was like during a break or something, and there was like tons of plot development. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't throw that into an offshoot special, but okay.
Speaking of throwaway episodes, these dudes are both Coopers, and I need to know... Where the hell are Betty and Alice? Maybe this is Chick's side of the fam.
Potentially.
I don't know. But yeah, Coopers, I think, is probably just a reference to Archie comics and being like the perfect, like, all-American family. They're all blonde, whatever.
My really good friend Kelly, her sister's family had a giant golden retriever that was named Cooper, and that's what it kept, because this family had a golden retriever. I'm like, oh my god, it's the Coop Daddy. That's what we used to call him. He's really cute.
Weird.
But like the world's biggest, I mean, it was like the world's biggest fucking golden retriever. He was huge.
I had a golden retriever growing up.
I feel like we never did, but we had like every other kind of dog. My aunt used to rescue golden retrievers, so.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Interesting. Also in this movie,
Katie Segal? I don't know. Who plays Pat? She stars in Futurama from 1999 to 2013, Married with Children from 1986 to 1997, Eight Simple Rules from 2002 to 2005, and Sons of Anarchy from 2008 to 2014. She won the 2011 Golden Globe for Best Performance by an Actress in a Television Series Drama for Sons of Anarchy. So she's definitely works.
That's a prestigious award, but for it is sure. The longest thing that you've ever had to say. Golden Globe for Best Performance by an Actress in a Television Series Drama.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Very specific, very prestigious. And I wanted to like make sure it got in there because I'm like, and like, Sons of Anarchy is like, she doesn't strike me as a Sons of Anarchy. I didn't know she was in Sons of Anarchy.
I didn't either.
Because I obviously recognize her as the mom from Married with Children. That's where I mean, she's like, because it's like the most recognizable role, I feel like.
Okay. Golden Globe for Best Performance by an Actress in a Television Series is a lot to engrave on a trophy.
Yeah, but like, it's a good trophy to engrave it on.
Yeah, that's true.
Second best, realistically.
Okay. Let's talk about the trivia and why we don't have any.
Yeah, so I couldn't find hardly any trivia about this movie, and I feel like there's little relevant production information or trivia about Smart House because it's probably similar to to finding information about like Lifetime movies, because prior to Disney Channel stars becoming like the superstars, like Selena Gomez, Miley Cyrus, all those kinds of people.
Ryan Merriman was a really big deal.
Yeah, but like there wasn't that much interest in finding out info about these, about like the TV movie stuff, as it would be like today trying to find out information about like Lifetime movies. I just don't think there's a lot of like set production secrets.
Yeah, it's a made-for-TV movie in 1999.
Yeah, exactly. I think though that kind of information exploded more around, like, IMDb facts and stuff exploded around, you know, like, the High School Musical era.
Yeah. Because there's more, I don't know, people are more interested in that. I
feel like real movies. Like real movies, like movies that were made that like with real big famous people, of course.
With intention behind them and yeah, things
of course
for
there's
reasons.
Information out there about those, but like a TV movie, not so much.
Yeah. Okay. So there's no fun facts.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry. Okay, so before we get into the plot, we're just gonna let you know a few things that we have going on. The first thing is tbtamp.com, which is our website, and that's where you can go for everything you need to know about this show. And there you will also find a link to our Redbubble store where you can buy stickers, phone cases, etc., to support our show. Charity starts at home. We are your home, apparently, for like an hour and a half a week. We are your home.
Exactly.
That's cute.
While listening to the podcast, go ahead and scroll to the bottom of your Apple Podcast app and select 5 stars. Easy as that. And if you truly love us, you can go the extra mile and leave us a raving review.
Yeah, only raving, please. Hold on. Can you do the next one while I check to see if we have any other reviews?
Also,
every week I forget.
Also, be sure to talk about our podcast to literally anyone you know that will listen, your friends, colleagues, parents, work friends, the person who might be in the bathroom stall next to you on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anywhere. Spread the word of TBT like you would Jesus Christ. And I haven't thought of another good quip for the rest of that sentence. So
like you would oranges all over the floor.
Yes, exactly. Like you would shoot oranges. Spread them like a
marmalade.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard. We put a lot of thought into this.
Yeah, clearly. We just completely forgot. We now have another rating. We don't have another review, but we love the ratings anyway. The ratings are great. So thank you. Our next rating will be our 20th rating.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to make my sister. I'm going to confiscate her phone tomorrow.
Yeah, make your sister, make your mom, make your dog,
friends,
everyone.
Family. Do it.
Random people on the street be like, hey, waitress, I'll give you a better tip if you let me
totally
steal your phone.
Great idea.
And rate my podcast 5 stars. So anyone, it really does help. It helps for other people to find this podcast. And that, you know, truly we are really doing this for the numbers. Clearly. We've done this many times.
But we are growing. So we do appreciate any work that you may or may not have put into this
That's
already.
Like, if
but
you
we
like
appreciate,
this, you should want it to keep going. And we'll keep going if people are listening.
Yeah, we would appreciate it.
We'll also probably keep going either way.
Yeah, realistically, we do this more for ourselves, but it's a secret.
Okay. Do you want to start off with the plot, or should I?
Also, if you want to share anything with us about this show, you can email us at tbtamp, or you can slide into our DMs on Instagram at tbtamp. You can follow me on Instagram or Twitter. That's Olivia at Mac is Cheesy. That's M-A-C-K is Cheesy.
And you can find me, Miranda, at Miranda Johnson, MirandaJohnzon.
Perfect.
That's it. Do you want to start or should I?
Sure. Okay. So the world's worst paperboy throws the daily paper into the bushes of Smart House. Pat, the house manager robot.
1999 Alexa, if
exactly.
You will.
Reprimands the paperboy for his poor accuracy before sending a long clawed metal arm to grab the newspaper.
That reminded me a lot of the that thing in The Incredibles.
Yes. Yeah.
The little,
oh my god!
Like,
totally.
Octopus thing that he bites.
Yeah.
That's what the arm looks like.
Inside the home, its creator, Sarah Barnes, and her friend, Miles, are conducting final efficiency testing on the house to ensure all systems are running correctly and smoothly because the house is being given away to a family through a contest.
Mm-hmm. So one thing that they say about the contest is the contest results have to be announced by 10 p.m. so they can make the morning papers. Wow.
What an antiquated thought.
Oh my god, that's insane.
Also,
that's
could you imagine crazy. Being the person who has to sit at the paper place, like, waiting for results? At, like, the newspaper office.
Printing.
Like, yeah, but, like, you have to wait to, like, insert it into the copy and then send it to the printing place. Ugh, what a pain in the ass.
Yeah,
being a newspaper awful. Reporter sounds like a terrible job.
Yeah, well, they're important. We love them. So Sarah looks so much like the one that wasn't the model. Was her name Alex, or is that the other one? Which one's name was Alex? What was the other one's name? Alex and I don't remember. We've watched 40 movies.
I think Alex was the non-model.
I think so too.
But they're both the same person.
Because I remember thinking when I was little that Alex was a more modeling name.
It was Janine.
Janine was the model.
Yeah, Janine Adams.
Yeah, so she looked like Alex from Model Behavior.
They both are the same person.
A low bun and glasses.
I thought Sarah was so pretty.
Yeah. But
Sarah's super pretty.
But it's like when they put like her hair up and glasses to like make her not that pretty. Yeah. But she was actually really pretty.
Yeah, she gets, and I think she like starts wearing her hair down more and stuff like that throughout the movie. I don't know if that's supposed to mean something, but
probably.
She's very pretty.
You know, she's opening up to her dad.
Yeah.
And it's also, this is relatable to me because the only way I'd ever be able to afford owning a home would be if I got it through a contest. But that's, you know, just life as a millennial / Gen Z cusper. It's hard out here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's for sure.
In Los Angeles.
Yeah, no, especially, yeah.
I was telling my mom, I was like, Mom, can I have my grandparents' house? And she was like, no. Like, you have cousins that are older than you. You cannot. She's like, are you going to buy it? And I was like, maybe.
Like, with a low, no-interest loan from you.
It's a one-bedroom, one-bathroom.
Who the hell? What?
200 feet from the beach. In Oregon, where it's cold as hell. I would love that.
Is
oh
there
God.
A beach or is it like a cliff?
It's a beach.
I imagine, or once you hit like San Francisco, it's just like cliffs all the way up until
Vancouver.
You're definitely
thinking of Big Sur, but after that, then it's like regular. Hold on. I will show you a picture. And we can keep talking.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so Ben Cooper prepares a very strange... Olivia wrote this note. It actually makes more sense if you read it.
Oh, okay. Ben Cooper prepares a very strange noodle and mushroom soup casserole thing while completing his homework and taking phone messages for his dad.
I will say, though, when I was growing up, my mom actually would make this actually delicious.
My mom made this, too.
Casserole
she
with
cream
rice.
Of chicken.
Hold on. They don't see the notes. With rice, chicken, and cream of mushroom soup. It's so good.
Yeah, my mom used Campbell's cream of chicken, but yeah, it was chicken, rice, and cream of chicken soup. So it was like kind of like a chicken and wild rice casserole sort of thing.
Yeah, cream of mushroom, really good.
I'm not a big mushroom person, but...
So the mushroom pieces are like literally like microscopic.
Yeah, but the cream of chicken was good too.
It just gave it a little flavor.
You know. But yeah, but his had like... noodles in it, and it was like kind of fun.
Oh, I didn't know
it was like
that.
Noodles and had like some kind of cheese or something on the back. I don't know, it was weird. It was very funky. I'm like, I don't know what he's making here. Also, what are you, a mom? Like,
he's also like 13. So.
Yeah, I know. And I'm like, why is this 13-year-old making a casserole? Like, I definitely could not have made a casserole when I was 13.
I think I could have. Casseroles are fairly easy.
Yeah, but like the fact that he knew like very specifically how to make a casserole, it's like, I don't know a 13-year-old boy, I don't know a 25-year-old boy who could tell you how to make a casserole.
I know one.
Your brother?
It's my brother. He can make lasagna. Lasagna is kind of a casserole.
Kind of. It's
more
complicated.
Like layers in a pan.
It's more complicated than a casserole. But, like, a casserole is such a, like, not boy thing to, like, cook,
it's
you know?
It's so easy. You just throw stuff in
I
a pan.
I know. But, like, guys just eat pizza, you know?
Okay. That's not true at all. What else do we have here?
Also, casseroles are, like, fairly uneconomical unless you have, like, a family eating them. You know, like, if you're making food for yourself, I feel like casseroles,
you can, like, freeze it and stuff. Ugh. Okay.
But, like, casseroles are good for, like, a group of people, you know?
Where, yeah, like, or, like, if someone died. You know what I mean?
Yeah, or if someone's sick.
Yeah.
Like, in Housewives of Orange County, when Vicky, oh, they went to the casserole.
Oh, my God. That's me. I would kill for a casserole right about
now. Yeah, that was her reason for also, for supporting Brooks's fake cancer ploy was, I just wanted you guys to love me. Give me a casserole.
I didn't miss that. That was crazy.
Yeah. No, bitch. Your boyfriend is faking cancer. We are not bringing you a casserole.
That was insane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He leaves the house with the food cooking in the oven to walk his little sister Angie home from her friend's house / exercise the family golden retriever. When they arrive home, Ben is excited his casserole has not burned, realistically also that the house is still standing, and returns to entering the smart house contest. Dennis Quaid walks in the door after a successful day at work. Sometimes I forget when I do these. Yeah, sometimes I forget I do these notes and then I laugh at myself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 4 days you did later. That note a while ago.
Yeah, exactly. I do these in like pieces.
Here's my question though, like, how long was the smart house contest? Like, what do you think this contest
there wasn't
entailed?
That many entries. There was like 8,000 entries. I feel like that's nothing.
Yeah, I don't know,
considering
where
like American
really
Idol
set.
Votes get like 35 million a week or some crazy thing like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, people didn't use the internet as much back then, and I feel like this is definitely like a newspaper thing, so I feel like that's a lot of entries to get. Yeah. Like, for something local that you would like find in the
but
newspaper.
Like for a house. But and most house giveaways, they're like raffles that you pay for, obviously, like,
yeah,
you know, like the St. Jude's home giveaway and stuff like that. Those are usually like $10 an entry, I think.
That's crazy.
Like that.
People, yeah, actually give away homes?
Yeah, yeah. We had one. God. We have one every year. We have a St. Jude's one in St. Louis every year where one of the local construction companies builds a house. And it's the money.
But that's St. Louis. The yeah, houses are like $15. Yeah. So you're better off just like,
I mean,
not buying a ticket.
It's usually like in a pretty good area. I mean, they're like valued around like $300,000, $350,000. And mm-hmm. you pay like $10 for a ticket. But the money all goes to St. Jude's. And the... Yeah. The building company cost. Donates, writes off the house that they build for free. So
yeah, and then the person who wins it has to pay the property taxes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Everybody wins.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Everybody wins.
Except. Okay.
The consumer.
Yeah.
So Angie mentions the possibility of their dad dating again, and Ben flips his lid, clearly not having moved on since the passing of their mother, which we find out later was 4 years prior. Apparently, Ben also has a contest entry addiction because
his dad's like, another contest.
Yeah, and Angie says the same thing. She's like, oh, he's entering another contest. Like, what does this kid do? Like, why contests?
And he seems like he's really busy.
Oh, yeah.
Can't play basketball.
Taking care of the whole family.
Contest?
Because he's entering. Yeah. Why aren't you playing basketball? I'm having to take care of this whole family. No. Because you're entering contests all day, Ben.
Yeah. Okay, so back at the house on the night of the contest drawing, Sarah is at the smart house, that is. Sarah is very anxious about leaving the smart house in the hands of the winning family, but she seemingly finds comfort through her emotional support rat, Butler. That's okay. I feel like I'm your emotional support rat. I don't know.
I think Brody's more of an emotional support dog, but if you want to give yourself support rat, you can do that.
That's my role here. So at the Cooper residence, Ben promises his dad that he will be offline, i.e. No longer clogging the phone line, which is such a throwback.
There are so many TBTs in this movie. Yeah. It's truly a TBT.
For such a quote-unquote futuristic movie,
yes, exactly.
There's a lot of TBTs.
Similar to Xenon, there's a lot of TBTs in this movie.
So he will be off the internet by 10:01 p.m. while trying very hard to deep breath through another conversation about his dad dating. I don't understand. Just let your dad date. Chill out, Ben. Calm
down.
Yeah,
4 years is a long time to still be, like, having difficulties with the grieving process.
Yeah, I mean, I think this kid should probably be in some therapy.
Yes, definitely needs some sort of counseling, clearly, if he's having, like, this kind of reaction every time his dad, like, mentions dating someone.
Yeah. Okay, so... I also just have a quick question about why does his dad need the phone after 10 p.m.? It's a little weird.
Well, he wants to call back the chick that Ben forgot to give him the message for.
Oh, okay. Weird.
Family members also.
So Sarah has Pat randomly select the contest winner, and Ben wins the contest. Surprise! What if Ben didn't win the contest?
Yeah, this movie over. Would be over. Yeah.
Hi. But they are unable to get through when calling the family because Ben is falling asleep with the phone line still connected to the internet. So, you know, Ben fell asleep. Apparently his dad also fell asleep.
Yeah.
So he can't call. I wonder if this movie is the reason why Alexa and, like, Google Home and things like that is called Smart Home and not Smart House. I don't know.
I don't think Smart House is, like, trademarked, but I think Smart Home sounds more friendly and, like, yeah, warm. Like,
yeah, it does. It definitely does. But you can't, like, I don't know. I feel like it would be weird, like, SEO to call something Smart House because, like, it's this. But I will say, like, Alexa and stuff like that does come up when you Google Smart House.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
Also, when they can't reach Ben, why would they not just, like, choose someone else? Like, maybe Ben was the only entrant. Like, he just entered 8,000 times and he was the only one dumb enough to want this death trap of a house.
I mean, I don't think that's how it works, though. I don't know how,
great,
like...
cool.
I know there's supposed to be, like, there's, like, laws that govern, like, contest entries and stuff like that. And I know they're supposed... I think they're supposed to do, like, it's, like, 24 hours to claim most contests.
Yeah, but it's also weird that, like, they publish his name before contacting him. It's also weird that, like, he's a minor and they can publish his name.
Yeah, that's the weird thing, is that that somebody under 18 could win a house. Because I don't know if you can
own a home. Maybe he was entering... I think you can, but maybe he was entering his... dad's name? I don't know.
But when he typed Vancouver.
Okay. Well, whatever.
Yeah. Ben oversleeps.
Relatable.
And the family must... Yeah. Oh, my God. My life.
Do you want to know when I woke up this morning?
When?
11:30.
Oh, that's so nice.
My mom was like, you're still asleep?
Bitch, you don't know my life. You fell asleep? And the family must leave for school while the phone is ringing to inform them of their win. When Ben arrives at school, other students randomly congratulate him, and he discovers that he won the contest when a classmate hands him a newspaper with the announcement.
Because, you know, students, casual, middle school students, always walking around with the newspaper.
Mm-hmm. He immediately calls his dad from a payphone and convinces him that they must check it out. After school, the family attends a press conference, a very small press conference, and they're given the tour of the house by Sarah, where she introduces them to all the technology the house has to offer. They move into the kitchen, and Angie requests a strawberry smoothie from Pat, we already met Pat, okay. And she drops it on the floor, but it is quickly cleaned up via the floor absorbers. As noted previously, I don't think I read a single newspaper in high school, let alone middle school, and I definitely didn't bring it with me for, like, casual reading in homeroom.
Yeah, I think my school, we, like, had an assignment at one point that was, like, find a newspaper and, like, find an article in this newspaper or something like that.
Yeah, awesome. And we were like, oh, we can't find anything like that online. They're like, you can look at a newspaper. Like, no, I'm good. Would make sure...
You would never say that because you can find literally everything online.
Exactly.
Including newspapers.
Exactly.
I hate when I, like, go onto a newspaper's website and it's like, disable your ad block. And I'm like, no. Bye.
Or, like, you have to pay to use this newspaper.
Yeah. I'm like, this is the internet.
Yeah, exactly. Why is this not free content?
Yeah. A quote from this section is, this was from, like, Ben and his friends, and I hated it. And he says... it's like having the perfect mom. And then his friend says, who's there to serve and never complains. And it's just so gross to me. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Like,
what your a mom little is punk just, teenager. Like, little punk 13-year-old.
How dare you?
Yeah, screw off, little kid.
Yeah. Also, very underrated that Angie gets the smoothie from Pat with zero noise. Like,
oh, yeah. These smoothies just pops out of nowhere.
Yeah. It doesn't... there's no, like, blending sound. There's no nothing.
It's instantaneous, too. She's like, can I get a strawberry smoothie? And it just pops up. Like, excuse me. Is there no blender in this house?
Maybe Pat is psychic and she just knows, like, clearly, that Angie will want a strawberry smoothie. I was just... very impressed. Also, I need to just say for the record, strawberries make the worst smoothies, and I will fight anyone on
that fact. I love strawberry smoothies.
Terrible. Terrible.
Better than orange.
No. Debatable. So that night, is this my turn?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That night, Ben reprimands Angie for supporting their dad's potential love interest in Sarah, but it is very clear when Nick is escorting her out that he is attracted to her. Ooh. The next morning, Pat wakes up Ben, Angie, and Nick with unique alarms, and they're all happy to hop out of bed. They each get, like, their own little...
personalized.
Flair on it. And I was like, I mean, for me, I feel like it's just... I just need, like, an alarm.
Yeah.
Like, any alarm, it's fine. I'll be mad no matter what.
Yeah, no, you could play anything you want, and it's not happening for me, so.
Yeah, you could play To All the Boys I've Loved Before, and I would still be mad.
Yeah, I mean, like, it would take, like, you giving me a shower while I'm still sleeping in bed to, like,
yeah, it would take get me you, out of like, bed. Bringing me a not strawberry smoothie.
I mean, that is possible. They seem to get that, so.
Seems so. The little robot arm just goes, here we go.
Yeah.
When Ben gets to school, he tells his friends about all the great attributes of the new house, and his crush even invites herself over to his fancy new house. I thought that was weird. Like, this crush thing was so random.
Yeah, she reminded me of, like, a child Megan Fox.
I can see Gwen. That.
Yeah.
I can
she
see that.
She had a very Megan Foxy face.
Okay. So back at the house, Pat entertains the family golden retriever while Nick works out of the house, a home office, if you will. How nice. Mm-hmm. When the kids arrive home from school, Pat experiences her first malfunction with the attack of the killer oranges.
Which
do you
is
want to explain the attack of the killer
oranges? Yeah, which is
oranges?
Totally what you get for ordering a banana orange smoothie. Both Angie and Ben ask Pat for a snack of a banana orange smoothie. Mm-hmm. And like...
I just ask Pat for a snack, and Peter Kavinsky just comes out of the thing. Yeah, sorry.
It lifts up where, like, the smoothie is supposed to be, and there's just, like, a million oranges that start, like, shooting out of it, and, like, the dog starts catching them, and they all take cover.
Do you think she just has, like, a Ralph's down there? Like,
well, yeah, because, like, Sarah says later that she has enough supplies to keep them, like, locked inside the house for, like, months. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah. It's just like,
that's a lot of smoothies.
Yeah, and there's also not enough of the golden retriever.
He's so cute.
There's not enough of it.
He's precious. He's always just hanging out there. So Nick calls Sarah to come over and review the issue, and she says, and she stays over for a romantic clam bake dinner with the entire family.
You know, clam bakes at the Cape.
Yeah,
the Cape.
You know, with nice, what is it, bibs. Nothing hotter than a bib.
I was doing the Legally Blonde reference.
Oh.
Clam bakes at the Cape.
Is that a... I didn't know that.
Yeah. Okay.
Ben excuses himself early and has a temper tantrum when he sees how well Sarah fits into the family. That night, Nick tries to explain to Ben that he doesn't need to look after their family since that's kind of Nick's job as the parent. In the middle of the night, Ben breaks into the control room, disables Pat's safety functions, and programs a system to download 50s-style mothering cues.
It's crazy that there is a control room in this home. Because, like, I have an Alexa Dot, and it's literally, like, 3 inches in diameter and then 1 inch tall. Like, it's nothing. Like, it's crazy that in this future, like, futuristic, fancy thing, they still need an entire room for the computer.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And then also, I just need to say the backgrounds of the kitchen and living room when they did Cape Cod Night was some of the worst green screen I have literally ever seen. Like, it was Cape Cod Night, and she just, like, made lobster, I guess, and, like, gave them bibs, and then just projected, like, a lighthouse on the wall. Like, that's it. That's all it was.
But it would be kind of cool if, like, your wall just became your TV screen. Like, that's cool.
You realize we have
a projector
right behind you.
No, I know, but, like, it's, like, interactive, though.
Okay, sure. It wasn't, like, that interactive.
Yeah, but, like, when they did the safari thing, it was,
the
like...
golf.
Yeah, the golf was interactive. When they had the beach, you said, like, you could feel, like, the breeze and, like, the water mist or something like that.
Yeah, that's just, like, soaring over the world. Is that what it is now? Yeah. And then there's another fun quote that I just had to call out. You know, this movie was made in 1999, lest we forget. This quote is, I used to think it was just teenage girls with all this body changing, mood swinging insanity, but let me tell you, are you kidding me? Is this a joke? Like, that's him saying, like, oh, it's weird that Ben is acting like this, because I thought it was only teenage girls that were crazy.
Like, have you literally never heard puberty?
Like,
ever?
How dare you?
Yeah.
And it's, like, you can't get away with this stuff just because you're a movie about, like, a single dad doing his best. Like, certain of these quotes are, like, inexcusable to me, and this is one of them. Like, how dare you,
sir? Yeah, it was just, like, very, like, how ignorant can you possibly be?
Apparently, very.
Yeah.
So, the next morning, Pat's new style is immediately imminent when she demands that Angie wear a jacket, which, again, issues, but it's fine, and return to the bathroom to brush her teeth properly. No issues there. Brush your teeth properly.
Yeah.
And then she also, like, adds vitamins to their diet and apparently packs a cupcake cooked with love into their lunches, which seems counterproductive with the vitamins, but okay, Pat. On the way to school, Nick tells Ben to stand up to the school bully. Terrible advice. And that gets him punched in the eye. Ben goes to his room and watches old home videos of his mom on the wall. So it's almost like she's there.
Yeah.
Like, larger than life. And where am I? So Pat observes that and then registers that for later. That evening, Nick FaceTimes Sarah. They just, like, video chat somehow. This was, like, before FaceTime, obviously, but that's what they're doing, with Sarah, and he invites Sarah on a date, and she gladly accepts. Great. It would have been weird if she just said no. Yeah. Again, this movie ends. So Pat hears that Nick wishes Ben could have a little more fun in his life, and she makes the executive decision for him to have a party, because apparently she knows all of his friends now.
Well, she hacks into his email.
Oh my god, of course she does. Ben and Angie play mini golf. They play mini golf and video games while Nick goes on his date with Sarah.
The mini golf is awesome. I remember that very distinctly from my childhood. I'm like, that would be so cool.
It looked very fun.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely, like, I know everything went wrong in this movie. Definitely wanted to live in this house.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, and, like, now I guess you can do the mini golf stuff with virtual reality.
Yeah.
You can definitely do something very similar, but, like, it was so cool. Yeah, Wii's a little different. I mean, like, this was, like, in virtual reality, I think you can, like, actually hold the club and, like, you know, it's, like, very much very realistic where, like...
Or you just, like, go to Topgolf.
Yeah, for sure. But not everybody has a Topgolf. But, yeah, it was awesome. I thought that was really cool.
Another quote, again, was Pat saying, "You focus on the business and leave matters of the tummy to me." Okay, robot with literally no organs. What do you know about a stomach? Excuse me? Also, again, yeah, extremely aggressive.
Well, yeah, but she's supposed to be taking after 50 style mom, so that kind of makes sense.
Not ideal. I don't want to see that.
Probably not the generation of women I would want my mom to take after, but you know.
Definitely not.
The doorbell rings while Nick and Sarah are gone, and Ben and Angie are clued into the party taking place at their house that night. Ben and his friends perform a fully choreographed boy band routine before the rest of the guests arrive.
That was rough.
It was amazing.
Like, holy. Okay, you guys.
Like, they were ready to go.
If you didn't see this, like, it was him and his two friends, I think. Yep. It was him and two friends, like, in a V formation doing this full-on, like, Backstreet Boys style dance.
Yeah, but
it was the cringiest thing. Almost as cringy as Max in the Goofy movie.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't even... It wasn't even Backstreet Boys. It was, like, some band called Five. Like...
Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just, like, five dudes.
Rejected name for One Direction.
Yeah, exactly. It was bad. Pat has also invited Ryan, the school bully, who gave Ben a black eye, to the party. When Ben dances with his crush, Gwen, Ryan tries to...
Oh, my God. Ben and Gwen.
Ben and Gwen.
Cute.
It'd be Gwen. Or Gwen.
Or just Gwen. Or just Ben.
Yeah, exactly. Ryan tries to intercede and Pat steps in, effectively driving him out of the party. Meanwhile, Nick and Sarah have a great time on their date, with Nick even kissing her after the dinner. At the party, all the guests do a modern stroll dance in the living room, and Angie interrupts to let Ben know that their dad will be home in less than 10 minutes.
Yeah, this... Also, I just need, like, the little sister in this is shining. She's, like, literally, she's 4 feet tall. She's the bouncer.
Yeah.
And, like, she has a clipboard. Yeah. She's like, oh, you're not on the list. I'm sorry. Like, that goals. Like, I would love to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like, deny people all the time. Like,
she should have been, like, taking an entry fee.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a smart sister.
That would have been amazing. And then I also can't think of anything less that I would like than my Alexa throwing a party for me. Oh, my God. I would hate that so much.
Oh, really? Oh, like, people just showing up. It'd be nice to, like, not have to, like, deal with party planning crap and just people showing up.
Yeah, I guess. Because
that's my biggest fear. Like, if I didn't know the party was happening and nobody showed up, it'd be fine. But, like, my biggest fear in life is throwing a party and nobody shows up. So, like, it's like traumatizing.
That's happened to me. So, I don't.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
Only one of my friends showed up and it was really sad.
How old were you?
I don't remember. I was probably, like, 12 or something. It was, like, a pool party during the summer. Like, in the middle of the week, everyone's like, my parents can't drive me. Like,
yeah, that's
the whole thing. It wasn't, like, a birthday party or something. It was just, like, a random, like, I have a pool. No one else has a pool. Come over and swim. And only one friend showed up when I invited, like, six. Thanks, guys.
Oh, six isn't, like, a huge number.
No, it wasn't like I invited 30 people.
Yeah, okay.
It was, like, my very close friends. And no one showed up, which might be worse. But, you know, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fine.
Not as traumatic, but still.
I'm not crying. It's fine.
Crying on the inside.
Always. I never thought.
That's a premise
statement. That's cute that you think I stop. Okay, so after herding all the guests out the door, Ben and Banji, think that there is
They're brother sister. They don't get a cute couple name.
I wasn't paying attention. I didn't remember who they were.
Oh my God.
Ben and Angie think there's no way they'll be able to clean the house in time, but Pat tells them to just push everything onto the floor, and then she activates the floor absorbers. I don't know how it, like, sucks out, like, the cups and stuff, but not, like, a rogue foot here and there. Like, I don't get that.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, what about the sticky surfaces?
Mm-mm.
You gotta, like, wipe that shit down.
No, yeah. You definitely need a little cloth.
Yeah, no, yeah. There's no way you have a party with all that trash and there's just nothing, like, sticky or dusty or gross on the actual surfaces.
It's also all, like, red Solo cups. And I'm like, you're 13. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, please. Stop. Give me a break.
They were, like, it was very weird. Like, Gwen and Ben were, like, grinding. I was like, this is so uncomfy. You are babies.
It was definitely very club vibes, but.
Yeah, I was like, this is weird. I love how you go from, like, doing a choreographed dance
to
with,
like,
the boys.
Club vibes, and then they went to, like, the stroll dance, which is, like, where there's, like, two lines of people. They meet in the middle, and they, like, scoot in the middle. You know, they, like, do the, like, kind of at the end of Hitch when they do the thing that, like, everybody. Yeah, you know, the end of Hitch where they're at the wedding and, like, they do the two lines and then you, like, do your special dance.
But I know you're talking where they walk through, like, everyone walks through and then to the end.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't know that's what that was called.
Yes, I looked it up because I'm like, I know this has to have a name because it's, like, in several, like, movies. Yeah, it's called the stroll.
Have you ever done that?
Well, we did square dancing when I was in middle school. Like, we had
square. Not the same thing.
No, but it's a type of square dance kind of thing. So, yeah. We definitely did it.
I feel like I did that in, like, Girl Scouts and stuff like that, just for fun, you know. Okay.
Okay.
So, the house is completely clean in a matter of seconds, which is goals. That would be amazing.
Oh, my God. Yes.
But I don't know, like, where did all that trash go? How did she know that it was only the trash that she was packed? Like, I don't get it. Anyway, because the thing with, like, a floor absorber for trash would be you would have to absorb only, like, the light things, like the empty cups, the napkins, like, all of that stuff, and not absorb, like the
furniture,
heavy couches, chairs, the random ficus in the corner.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't understand how that would really work, but I'm sure Sarah figured it out. I'm so proud of myself for remembering her name. Okay, so Nick arrives home, and the thing that he sees that busts them is Gwen's jacket thrown on top of a houseplant, and he's furious and tells Pat that she needs to knuckle down, which she takes to heart. I was very stilted, I'm sorry. The next morning, Ben tries to go outside to play basketball before school, but Pat insists that he pull up his shorts, and she electrocutes his hand on the doorknob until he does so. Then he finally pulls up his dang shorts, you little punk-ass Ben, and
punk-ass Ben.
This little kid is such a punk. Like, he thinks he is so cool with his choreographed dance moves and his sagging pants. Like, are you kidding me? This kid's the worst. I feel like
that was definitely my mom in that moment when she was like, pull up your damn pants. Like, yeah. My mom told my brother that all the time when we were in middle school. I don't think my
brother really went through that phase.
Oh, my brother did. My brother wanted to be a hood rat so bad. Like, he wanted it so badly.
Ben really did want to be a hood rat. Like, oh,
all he needs is a little M&M in his life, and he's there. He's the
most, like, suburban child.
Oh, my gosh. Completely.
Okay.
And, like, how does she know his pants are sagging? Because his shirt literally goes down to his knees. So, like, how does she know where his pants are resting?
Yeah, she's, like, I don't know. She's just really paying attention to wardrobe.
Yeah, it's like pull up your shorts, and he has to like roll up his whole shirt to see where his shorts actually are sitting.
Relatable. I don't know. It's not
really.
It's really not. Okay, so during the day, Pat refuses to allow Nick to call Sarah until he gets a certain amount of work done.
God. I feel like this is like a huge, like, this, it, to me, this would be a huge cue. Like, this is bad because I need to be able to call, like, the person who knows how to fix the house at any point in time.
Yeah. And then later on, Angie is not allowed to watch cartoons, rude, and Pat switches the channel until she leaves to read a book instead. Oh my God, that sucks. As someone who, like, doesn't hate reading, that sucks.
You only want to do it when, like, you want to do it.
Yeah. So Pat continues these acts of overprotective aggression, and Nick calls Sarah over to sort things out, because apparently he finally got enough work done.
Yeah, exactly. He finally got his phone privileges
but also,
restored.
Like,
restored, sorry.
What's his name? His name is Nick. Yeah. He really was, like, a bigwig at his company. He was, like, selling sporting goods. I think he was talking about, like, bats and gloves at a certain point. I don't know, whatever. But he seemed like he was sort of in charge at his job, which I feel like you kind of have to be able to work from home in 1999. And I feel like what's her name? Pat?
There's like five names happening in this whole movie.
There's so many names, but they're all such basic names.
Yeah, that's very true.
It's hard to remember what's what. I feel like Pat telling him what to do would be really annoying.
Oh, yeah, that would be infuriating. Yeah, no, no, completely.
Like, if someone tells me what to do, I'm like, okay, but if, like, for him...
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it's like, if somebody tells me I can't, like, I'm at my house, I can do whatever the hell I want, you know? Like, if I want to call whoever I want, I'm going to. So Sarah decides to shut down Pat for one night, and Nick invites her to stay for dinner. While Nick and Sarah prepare dinner, Ben walks down the stairs and is disappointed when he sees his dad kissing his new girlfriend, i.e.
ooh,
Sarah.
Ooh.
Nick says, who needs Pat anyhow, off the cuff, triggering the system to override the shutdown. At dinner, Ben has another...
to turn back on.
Yeah. Yeah, so she overrides the shutdown. Yeah.
Okay, so she's always listening.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. She's the NSA.
Thank you.
at dinner, Ben has another fit and leaves the table, but this time Nick has had enough and follows him to his room. Nick tells Ben that he needs to stop pretending that he is the only one who lost someone when their mother died, and that they need to move on with their lives.
This scene was so real.
I almost cried.
He did, like, the acting in this specific scene where Nick is like, you're not the only one that lost someone. Like, I lost someone too. Like, that was like...
But it was like totally real. Like, that's legit. This is why you go through counseling, Nick, so you don't end up screaming at your kid.
God, in 2018, I'm so glad that, like, people go to therapy more.
Yeah, very true.
Maybe it's just because we live in LA, but...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I feel like I'm the only person I know that doesn't go to therapy. Like, it's just me.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely been before. I don't currently, but...
I feel like you used to go.
I mean, like, I go to my psychiatrist to get my Adderall prescription, it's definitely not talk therapy. It's not therapy. Okay. I've been to therapy before, but not since I've moved to California.
Interesting.
Because my life has been so great.
Should I not laugh that hard?
Yeah, anyway. Thanks. Thanks for the support. Yeah, so...
You literally have a mug that says, I don't need therapy, I have a dog.
Oh, yeah, Brody's definitely helpful, but,
like... I kind of hate, because I'm like, dog is not a replacement for therapy.
Well, and with how much... Well, it's obviously a gift, but how much... With how much I, like, have moved, it's hard to, like, I have one person that I really like at home. So, yeah. Like, when I need her, I go to her. So,
cute.
But, yeah. So, he tells Ben that his dating someone does not mean that he or Sarah is trying to replace his mother, which is cute. It's a good conversation. Productive.
But I feel like...
But it's not that simple.
I also don't think that that's necessarily true. Like, I haven't had, like, a parent date someone else or something like that. But I just... I feel like if he's dating, like, he... kind of is looking for someone to replace his mom.
I don't think that... No, it's, like, no like one he's can looking replace, for like, your...
life partner.
Yeah, there's a difference between, like, a pair, like a life partner and, like, replacing your mom, though. Like, a okay. step-parent...
But it's, like, another...
Yeah, but, like, mom. The way that I think they're referring to is, like, take her place as in, like... like
forget push her about out. Her.
Yeah, you're like forget about her, and this is your new mom. Like,
yeah,
I can understand where, and I think like Sarah does a really good job of saying like that's not what I'm trying to do here. Like, yeah. I'm, you know, I want to be your friend, basically, which is like kind of a decent thing for a potential step parent to say.
Yeah, Pat kicks it into overdrive and develops her own virtual projection of a mother. So she's like full on. Tupac hologram here.
Oh, yes. But she's not a hologram. She's a virtual projection because Sarah wouldn't know the difference between a hologram and a virtual projection if she wanted to.
I don't know the difference.
Pat says that, and okay. I don't know the difference, but I thought they were the same
and
thing.
And Vanna White. That's what I thought of when you said Pat says that.
Oh.
It sounded like Pat
says that. Can I buy a vowel, please?
Okay. Pat confronts Ben in his room and is able to escape and run downstairs. Ben is able to escape and run downstairs to tell his dad what is going on. Pat follows him downstairs because she is the stairs and quickly shoves Sarah out of the house and barricades her outside and the family inside. It's like full on the purge. Like,
yeah, she is like puts down like metal grates to cover the windows yeah. and the doors. Like,
it is a fortress. Yeah. And I'd love to see this re-edited as a horror movie.
That would be so scary.
It would. This could be terrifying. Like, your smart house turns against you.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that they kind of did that a little bit in Mr. Robot, but only people who watch, like with that apartment thing. Anyway, people who watch Mr. Robot will maybe know what I'm talking about, but... Anyway, I don't want to spoil anything, so where was I? I forgot. Nick, Ben, and Angie have a standoff against Pat, and she more or less holds them hostage inside the house. Overnight, Ben works with Sarah via AIM chat to form a plan to take back the house.
Yeah, so...
even though it was never really theirs.
Yeah, and someone mentions, like, Keeping Up with the Coopers, and I'm like, oh my god, Ryan Seacrest was definitely watching this movie in 1999.
Well, that's just a general phrase.
Yeah, like, I know, like, Keeping Up with the Joneses, but, like, I imagine, like, Ryan Seacrest sitting on his couch in 1999, and he's like, that's a great idea.
Ryan Seacrest was watching...
Sure, why not? It's my...
It's your
imagination,
world.
Yeah.
Sure. Keeping Up with the Mac. Just one of them.
Yeah, just me. Also, I love the projections of World War II as a reference to the outside world from Pat. I mean, like, I know she's developed after a 50s housewife, but, like, all of her... She's like, the world out there is so scary. And she puts, like, Hitler, the Third Reich, marching down the street and an atomic bomb going off. Like, yeah. Wait, what? Like,
to be fair, very soon after 1999, things got scary.
Yeah, but I mean, it was just like, wait, no, that's not what it looks like outside right now, Pat. But thanks.
No. Thank you, Pat. But no. And the Pat holograph, if you don't remember what this looks like, which I think you probably do because it was like on the VHS cover and everything, like an iconic image of a 50s housewife that really reminds me of Flo from the Progressive commercials.
Yeah, the girls look very similar.
Yeah. I need to say, I kind of feel bad for Pat. Olivia's just shaking
she's
her head.
Not
like,
a
oh
person.
God. No, she's not.
Do you feel bad for your Alexa?
No.
That bitch.
I barely work that lady. Like,
that hoe could do mo.
She has one job. Okay, but I kind of feel bad for her. Like, they put all of this on to her and then get annoyed when she did what they told her to do. Like, they got annoyed when she wanted to, when they like told her that he wanted to have more fun, they got annoyed when like he wanted to be more strict, they got annoyed when she was like too much 50s housewife, like all of these things that they told her to do, they got annoyed when she did them. And like, it's a fine way to treat a robot, like who cares, but when she turns into the holograph, then I start feeling bad for her because I'm like, oh, you have a face now. Hashtag Westworld.
I mean, I don't know. I tend to disagree, but...
That's fine.
So in the morning, Sarah jumps into the paper chute to try to break into the control room. Pat catches her and loses her shit and creates a hurricane inside the living room.
Insane. That's very, what's the Christmas movie with the weather?
Ultimate Christmas Present.
Yes, the Ultimate Christmas Present with Brenda Song.
Yes, yes. Finally, Ben stands up to Pat and tells her that she can never be their mother because she isn't real. And no matter how... and never will be, no matter how hard she tries.
That's so mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like, she needs some tough love. Pat demonstrates crying through a rainstorm in the house and relinquishes control back to the family. Sarah once again takes over the control room and reprograms the house to operate as it originally had, i.e. not as a mother. Thanks, Ben. And Sarah and Nick continue to date, and the family enjoys the house in the way that it was originally intended.
How great. I just want to say, like, all it takes for Pat to back off is Ben telling her that she isn't human. Like, that's it.
Well, like, because he went in and, like, reprogrammed her. And, like, that was the whole thing. It's, like...
So it's Ben's fault. It's yeah, like Pat's exactly. fault.
Well, and that's the thing. What Sarah, like, had gone back in there was, like, no, everything's running fine. And, like, I'm like, how the hell does she not see that, like, all of the safety features have been disabled? Yeah. Like, I feel like that should be, like, a glaring thing on, that Sarah. She sees. Like, as soon as you walk in, she's like, everything seems normal. Like, no, every safety feature has been disabled, which allows the house to go apeshit. Like,
yeah. I also don't understand how they're still okay living here. Like, we're at the end of the movie. This is it.
And they're still and they're all good. House. Yeah, they're living there. Pat's winking.
Like, I would never. I would go live in, like, a log cabin in the middle of Pennsylvania.
Well, like, did they sell their house? Like, what happened to their actual house? Like,
what a great question.
Yeah.
Move back to your old house.
Yeah.
Take your dog. I mean,
I'm sure it was pretty nice. Yeah, that poor dog. He's very cute. I'm taking the dog.
Thank you for just saying exactly the same thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a good, that's a good reference.
I said that reference like 3 times this weekend. And
really? To who?
What I was saying.
When you were coming back?
Myself.
When you were coming back here, you were like telling your parents, I'm taking the dog.
Yeah. Yeah, I would totally. I felt, oh my God, it was so sad that I had to leave my dogs. Do you have any overall comments about this movie, Olivia? Because we've gotten to the end.
Not really.
Not really. We had lots of overall comments throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
Overall, it's not very futuristic.
No, but it was so good at the time.
Yeah, it definitely, like, it was good. I don't think it held up as much as we hoped.
No. But, like, I liked how they, like, incorporated the music. Like, I thought it was good. It was, like, some bops.
Yeah, there was that one song that was from a different movie that we watched. I think maybe, like, Life Size or something like that. There maybe. Was the one song. Hold on. Let me look. It was by, like, Bewitched.
Oh, Say yeah. Loving. Yeah.
That one.
Yeah. They had, like, good music, like, current music from the time. But I'm like, oh, my God, I forgot that song.
Yeah.
What was your character to keep an eye on?
My character to keep an eye on is Sarah. I think, like, she's smart. She, like, has good things happening. She built a house.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Miles, her friend, because he was funny. Like, he added some, like, good quips every once in a while.
Yeah, but he was mostly, like, you're so pretty. Why are you still single? And you're smart, too. I guess that helps. Like,
yeah. I mean, I thought he was funny. Like, for, like, the minimal role that he had, I was like, oh, he's a good funny man.
Yeah. Funny man. What's your rating for this?
I'm going to give it a 3.
I was also thinking a 3. Oh, perfect. So a solid 3.
Easy math.
Super easy. What? We don't have any games. What do we want to do next week?
I don't know.
Heavyweights? I don't know.
Maybe
as you're going away stuff. Present, can I give you Heavyweights?
Sure, totally. Okay,
so as Olivia's moving away present, I'm going to give her me watching Heavyweights.
Oh my God, I'm so excited for you.
I'm not excited. This is definitely going to be a, like, Sunday night, then I fall asleep Monday afternoon. Like, it's going to take me a while to watch this movie.
So the only other movie that we have that also scored a exact 3.0 was School of Rock. So, like...
Interesting. Would you say this movie is better than School of Rock, or would you say School of Rock is better than this movie?
I would say, like, it's around the same. Like, I feel the same way about it. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, I think School of Rock is probably better than
really?
This one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But we definitely need to do an episode yes. where we, like, break our ties and stuff like that and actually come up with, like, a ranking of all these movies.
Oh my god, that could be interesting.
Yeah. Because I feel like it will cause debate. Because I feel like
that should be like 51, though. Like that should be okay. like after we have 50 movies, yeah. we'll be like, okay, let's find our top 10.
Yeah.
So far.
Fair. Okay. So like we said earlier, our website is tbtamp.com. From there, you can find our stickers, our like episodes, all that stuff. If you like don't like to listen on your phone, you can listen on a desktop on our website, which is cool. And also rate and review us on the podcast app. We got a new rating. Very exciting. And yeah, keep it going.
Yeah, five stars. Find us on Instagram at TBTAMP. You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Mac is cheesy. That's M-A-C-K is cheesy. I almost said TBTAMP again. Whoops.
Yeah. Did we say our Instagram was TBTAMP?
Yeah, I said find us on Instagram.
And then also, I am on Instagram and Twitter at Miranda Johnson, MarindaJohnzon.
Perfect.
And tell a friend, keep the word going.
Yeah.
And next week, heavyweights.
Yay! Wow. I'm excited.
Yeah, that's it.
See you on Tuesday!